Travel writer Mike Carter went along for the ride. He writes about it in London's Observer newspaper. Mike, first of all, which countries did you head to and what was the starting point for this voodoo tour?
We flew into Lomé, the capital of Togo, traveled through Togo and then Benin and then into Burkina Faso to the north.
Right. And Lomé is the answer to the GeoQuiz today. So set the scene for us. The most amazing place in Lomé is this fetish market. What is a fetish market and what do you see in a fetish market? What's for sale?
It's like nothing one was seen before. We entered into this dusty courtyard and on all sides were market stalls full of desiccated skulls with lifeless eyes staring back at you. Everything from cheetahs and baboons to chameleons and antelope and tigers. The voodoo of Udon is a monotheistic religion, and it sees God and God's creations in every living object and inanimate objects as well. So a voodoo priest, you would present the voodoo priest with a particular problem you have to do with fertility or to do with crop failure, and the voodoo priest would come up with a spell which would require a particular potion, requiring particular ingredients, and then dispatch you to the fetish market. But unlike aloe vera or aspirin, he might ask you for bat wings and the tooth of a cheetah. So effectively, the fetish market is like a massive branch of super drug, whatever, and then you go off and you get your potions and you take them back and your ailments are miraculously cured.
Does it strike you, or did it strike you odd, that a travel agency is making money off something that is really kind of a sacred area for many people?
It's a tricky one. I think Burkina Faso, according to the United Nations last report I read, is the third poorest country in the world on the list of certain criteria. And there were times going into villages on this trip where you can clearly see malnutrition, malnourished children, and the village is failing. And at times like that, it did feel difficult to be there. And it was impossible not to ask yourself, why am I here? But I think the way the tours are handled and the rewards one brings away with one, more than, to me in my mind, justify explore going to places like this. It's not mawkish and it's not voyeuristic. That's not the sense I got. And also, they're very expensive tours, relatively. And quite a large chunk of the money you spend is distributed to the villages you visit.
Right, about $3,500 for one of these tours. You took some photos while you were on the tour, and we'll post some of them at theworld.org. Now that you kind of stepped back from the tour and kind of looked at these photos again and written about what you saw, what stands out for you?
It's difficult because it's really easy to stray into cliche, but there's one abiding memory of the whole trip. It is just smiling people. Smiling children, especially, just grabbing your hand tightly and not wanting to let go, desperately keen to show you their goat or their donkey or their scrap of toy. So I think the spirit of the children is something I'll take away with me. But bizarrely, I had a very surreal moment in Ouagadougou, the capital of Burkina Faso. I went to a lake full of crocodiles, and a little boy in his underpants invited me to sit on the back of one of these crocodiles, a Nile crocodile, about 2 meters long. And I found myself going, yeah, why not? That seems like a really good idea. So I was sitting on the back of this 2 meter long crocodile. And all of a sudden, this boy in the underpants got these live chickens from somewhere. And he's just feeding, kind of popping live chickens into this crocodile's mouth. And I'm sitting on its back. And now I look at a photograph of me sitting on this crocodile's back, thinking, what was I doing?
Yeah, what was it about you that the crocodile thought, oh, it's a man, it's not a chicken, I'm not going to eat it?
At the end of the day, it's one of nature's most fearsome predators, and it's a wild animal. And if it, you know, fancies a bit of Englishman instead of a bit of chicken supper, you know, there was nothing to stop it doing that. And also in the python temple in Ouidah, they told me they were sacred pythons, so they wouldn't hurt me either. So I kind of bought into that and crawled down into the python pit and surrounded by pythons. And I said at the start of my piece, you know, people go on holiday and they do unfortunate things sometimes when they're on holiday. You know, they get tattoos or they get their hair braided or they exchange phone numbers with a really awful couple that they're forced to then, you know, see. And Burkina didn't do any of that to me. It made me sit on the back of a 2 meter crocodile and sit in a python pit. So I don't know. Was that voodoo? I have no idea. But looking at the pictures, it doesn't look like me doing it.
I hate to be kind of your average tourist here, but did you bring any souvenirs home with you? I mean, I doubt you can get through customs with desiccated baboon heads, but maybe something else that reminded you of, you know, just what a experience you had there.
That would take some doing. That would take some explaining at Heathrow, I'd say.
I guess so.
There was plenty of opportunity in a fetish market. We were offered gris-gris, the little amulet charms with herbs and cowrie shells. and a stick, a magic stick, which I think if they could get a franchise in the West would do good business. But the stick, basically, you dipped it in whiskey and you rubbed it on your body, and it's voodoo Viagra, he called it. And he said it would enable you to, and I quote, he said it will enable you to go like a buffalo all night. Okay. To me, it just looked like a twig it picked up off the ground, but I was assured it was a magic voodoo stick.
Well, we're glad you survived it all to tell us about it. Travel writer Mike Carter, back from the cradle of voodoo tour of West Africa. Mike, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure, Mark.
Still ahead, a new hip voice for Samba Soul from Brazil on PRI.